We are joined by Jeff O'Brien, our attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, normally we do a sports theme three and out, but now there's so much good other good stuff. We're going to do a three and out, and you're going to start off with our good friend and possibly future president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's seeming to be less and less chances by the day that he's going to be the next president. You know, he had a week of gaffes. He had, first of all, he was on the talk show with the black radio host and said, if you're going to vote for Trump over Biden, you ain't black. And I've had a lot of friends, clients. I've seen a lot of chatter on social media. He irked a lot of people with that comment. And it just exemplifies how much the Democrat Party has taken the African-American vote for granted. And here's a guy who's sitting there who in 1977 was talking opposing desegregation plans for schools because it was going to create a quote unquote racial jungle. He's taken flack for the number of black people incarcerated increasing because of the 94 crime bill. And on the other hand, you've got Donald Trump with passing the criminal justice reform bill that actually is good for a lot of African-Americans who were wrongly incarcerated or were incarcerated because of that 94 crime bill. So when you look at their records, you know, Trump in the last election said, what the hell do you have to lose? The left and the, you know, likes to paint Donald Trump as a racist. But when you look at policies and results up before all this coronavirus stuff, black unemployment was at an all-time low. The fact of the matter is you can hate the guy for some of the things that come out of his mouth and the way he handles himself. But the record speaks for itself. The guy's been good for African Americans in this country.
Yes. And now I want to get to you told me this was the day after he made the comment about blacks. They have to vote for him or they ain't black. Let me play this one. This is the day after what he said.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
You know, when you hear comments like that, you realize you're not really voting for Joe Biden. You're voting for his vice presidential candidate, whoever that will be, knowing that they will ascend to the presidency, and in all likelihood, in my mind, the Democrats will invoke the 25th Amendment on him. It won't be the Republicans. Yeah. They want to keep him in office.
This is really sad and disappointing to watch. I know that your family has dealt with it. I know Mary's mom has dealt with this issue. My family's dealt with it with my mother. It's hard to watch him out there at times with his definite cognitive decline, try to win this election for his party. And shame on his wife for allowing this to happen.
Shame on everyone around him in the Democratic Party for not telling because all the people that work for him, they want to keep him in because they have jobs. But it's terrible. They should come up with they don't want to say that it's dementia, then they should come up with something else or Alzheimer's. Come up with another reason that he has a health issue because it's really unfair to him and whatever legacy he has.
I like what Jeff said, cognitive decline, because it's not labeling exactly what's going on, but it's really clear that I'm so uncomfortable when I watch him speak, because I know that, you know, he might sound okay, and then within a few sentences he's just going to veer off into just some random direction, and words that don't even make sense are going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah. You see these polls coming out that supposedly have him in the lead in nationally and in states, and I don't buy them. You look at the wave of elections recently where Republicans won everything. This is fixing to be a big Trump victory, and it's really sad that they're using Biden in this manner. And someone suggested that in the first debate between the two of them, Trump should just at some point after he's got him on the ropes, just say, you know, enough of this. We got to stop this. This is just not right to put this man through this, and basically walk off the stage.
No, first he has to walk over and put his arm around Biden and say, I wish you the best and I pray for you, and then walk off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're setting themselves up for that kind of moment here.
Well, there's going to be a lot of moments. And, Jeff, I will almost guarantee that the October surprise will be Trump announcing that he will push and he will get a vaccine out before the election. Whether it works or not, we won't know until after the election. But he will come out with a vaccine. I have no doubt about it. He will push
it through. I think you got to be careful with that. I mean, you know, pushing a vaccine that far. I don't know that he's going to need that. I've heard that, you know, he has said he's not going to force anybody to take it. Again, this is going to be up to the states to decide. He's been a, you know, he can be a little clumsy on this, but he does seem to understand federalism. And he does seem to understand that there's certain things that he can't do. And for what, you know, some of those things he says, you know, he's been about the churches last week and people, you know, lit him up for being, oh, he has no power to do that. Well, the Department of Justice has a civil rights division. He can absolutely go in if religious expression is being infringed upon in the states. So he doesn't always say things artfully, but he does seem to understand the basic workings of how our system works.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. All right, let's go to item two.
Item two, a little closer to home. So there's been this fight up with Shady's Bar, this chain of bars up in central Minnesota in Albany. And my good friend Lou Ragus, reporter from Care 11, was up there. And there's a Paul Bloom from Fox 9 put out the video, and it went viral yesterday on Twitter, of Lou being harassed for wearing a mask while he was trying to do a story on the protest and the court case and everything. And, you know, protesters that were yelling at him and, you know, take it off and criticizing him for wearing a mask. Well, you know, if you look at, he had an explanation on Twitter yesterday. Lou is one, I don't know if you know him, but Lou is one of the most fair and fair-minded, impartial reporters there is. He cares about the story. He listens to all sides. I've worked with him before on stories, and there's, as TV reporters go in this town, there might not be anyone better for news stories. And he tends to do more of these, you know, these legal stories. And so Care 11 has a policy that he has to wear a mask when he's out like that. So he's not going to go against his employer and have discipline. So this does not help the reopen movement when they behave this way. I saw a lot of folks that from the movement that have apologized to Lou on Twitter, that have privately apologized to him, and that have taken to task the protesters that did this. This is one of the problems. And we're looking, I'll be honest, we're looking at other possible legal action against the governor on behalf of some bar and restaurant owners. We're going to see how things play out in the first couple of days of this week with some meetings. But, you know, the Shady's case is turning into a little bit of a political theater. He's not, he does have a kind of a shady past, shall we say. He's not the sympathetic party like some of these other guys are. And Doug Wardlow getting into it, as much as I like Doug getting in and having a legal battle against Keith Ellison, his former opponent in the AG's race, just turns that into a political sideshow. So we're looking at other options. Yeah, we're looking at other options where, you know, serious lawsuits if we have to try to get these bars and restaurants reopened.
You know what? The Shady's guy, he allowed someone to start a GoFundMe that made close to $200,000. Is that right, or has it exceeded it? And he didn't use any of the money. I mean, he should have actually opened up, but he backed down. And he also better return that money to these people and not keep it.
Right.
But let's see how that one plays out. They should be on that story, too, with or without a face mask. All right, item three.
Right. Item three, so speaking of face masks, Mayor Fry, Jacob Fry in Minneapolis, puts out his version of an executive order on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, stating that effective as of May 26th, everybody in the city of Minneapolis has to be wearing a mask if they're in a place of public accommodation or with, you know, with other people, except that there's a state statute that bars someone from concealing their identity in public. So not quite sure where he's going to go with that. I mean, my firm, you know, we're located downtown. We have a policy. We're constantly updating our guidance for the employees that are in the office. I'm out in my co-working space and working on my home office. I haven't been to the office in a while, other than just to pick up a few things on the off hours. But, you know, our policy is if you're going to be meeting with people, if you're going to be in the common areas, if you're going to be in the, you know, the employee lounge, you have to have a mask on. Employers, businesses, they understand that, and they're putting up their own guidance. We're working with a lot of clients that are allowed to reopen now on safety and sanitary guidelines per the, you know, what Deed puts out and what the CDC puts out. This is just Jacob Fry, I don't know, trying to look, you know, like Mr. Chief Executive again, but it's not necessary. And in fact, it might contradict Minnesota law.
Well, he doesn't listen to Osterholm, who said that was a bad idea. And basically, he just told restaurants, you're not going to be open for a long time, because how do you go into a restaurant and eat if you have to wear the mask? It's ridiculous.
That's the part I don't understand. I do not understand that. And I think, like I said, you know, you saw the governor come out on Saturday and have an epiphany, shall we say, to on the religious ceremonies, you know, the churches and synagogues and mosques reopening. After, you know, the Catholics and the Lutherans basically told them, screw you, we're reopening. And after President Trump came out on Friday and said he's going to, you know, he'll use what he has to get churches reopened. in states that aren't allowing them. So I think that there's, and there, that's why I think you're going to see some sort of, we're going to look at some sort of legal action if we don't get some change. We're, you know, we're talking with a lot of legislators on both sides who I think have reached a point of frustration with the governor. I mean, these people are all on the ballot this fall. And I think there's members of his own party that may be getting fatigued by all of this because they may lose their seats. I mean, they're seeing, you know, you can spin these polls whatever you want, but we're, you know, you look at some of the data in this latest one, definitely people are getting fatigued with this, and that doesn't spell spell good news for the governor's party in a November election. So my prediction is I think we're going to see a change of heart, a change of the guidance on the bars and restaurants, just a prediction.
Well, I don't doubt that at all. Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. What's the website if people want to get in touch with you, or how do they get in touch with you?
Website is Chestnut Cambrone, chestnut like nut, and CAMBRONNE.com. I'm on Twitter at Jeff O'Brien. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. If you look me up, Google my name, and you'll probably find some way to get a hold of me.
So if you want to sue somebody, Jeff's your guy. All right, we'll take a quick break and be right back.